Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, New York Democrat in office since 1999 and one of the most successful New Yorkers in history, the very first majority leader in the United States Senate from New York. That's got to go to your head, no? How do people deal
with that?
Well,
no, I try to. You know, one of the things I do, Alan, I keep in touch with people. I'm still visiting the 62 counties every year. Last year with COVID, I visited all 62. I think we're up to number 40 this year already. I still try to be visible wherever I can. During COVID, I was on a whole lot of Zooms. In fact, I tell when I go on a Zoom with 40 or 50 people, I say to them, I was at more Easter service. Even though I'm Jewish, I was at more Easter services than all the Christians put together on this Zoom, because I zoomed into about 70 or 80. I try to stay visible and in touch with people, and it keeps you grounded. It keeps you grounded, and you do your job better. You know, people used to ask me, why do I spend 8 hours at the state fair, or 3-4 hours at the Taste of Buffalo, or at the Park Avenue street fair in Rochester? And, you know, 50 people will just say hello, pass you by, say thanks for being here. And the 51st person stops and says something. And you're meeting average groups of folks. You know, these are not people who are coming to a town hall meeting with a specific exit line, although that's just fine. And you learn. And that's what I always have done, and that's what I continue to do. This week I was in, you know, 5 or 6 counties. I was in Buffalo. I was in Canandaigua County. I was in your neighborhood in Rensselaer County, talking actually about making the Capital Region the center of video games. We got some great companies, 23 startups. Two brothers who were raised in Rochester created a company called Velen. That's one of the cutting edge companies in video games. Anyway, I try to stay visible and in touch, and it keeps you grounded.
What about Israel? I mean, I know you've followed that situation for years and years. What do you make of what's going on now? The potential?
Well, you know, I now that there's a new government, or it looks like there'll be a new government in Israel, I hope there can be a two-state solution. I think the majority of Americans and the majority of people, even in Israel, want a two-state solution, a Palestinian state and a Jewish state. Now with a new government in Israel, or it looks like there's a new government, I'm hopeful that our administration will push to create that two-state. That's the best way to be. The Jewish people should have a state of Israel, and the Palestinian people should have their state.
Have you talked to people over there lately about the change in government?
Well, I've talked to a few people who've just come back, and they think it's going to happen. We'll see. You never know. They've had such a difficult situation. I think, 4 elections and nobody could form a government. So let's hope they can now.
Do you think that Netanyahu made a mistake being too close to Trump, one of the most dangerous presidents in history?
Yes. I've told him that to his face. That I think I told him that just his total embrace of Trump alienates people unnecessarily from Israel.
And he responded and said?
He listens. That's it.
Don't tell me what to do. Talk to me about the filibuster. Huge number of people are writing me every day saying, get rid of the filibuster, do it now. And I keep saying, yeah, that's fine. But what happens when the Republicans are in control of the Senate, if they are?
Well, you know, yeah, look, I think we need big, bold action. There is no question about it. In many areas, we need real change in America. And I've stood for big, bold action on so many things, like climate, like racial inequality, like economic inequality. There are new problems that come up in the country that we have to deal with. Let me give you one that Joe Biden has correctly put in his American jobs plan, which is child care. The world has changed. When I was a boy in the 50s and 60s, my dad had this junky little exterminating business, not very successful, but my mom stayed home. She was a homemaker. That's what they called it in those days. And I got home from school at 3 o'clock, and there she was, and there was milk and cookies, and okay, what homework do you have? This, that, go out and play, come back. And that's how families worked. You didn't need child care. Now it's a minority of families that have two parents with only one working. The vast majority of families raising children are either single parent or two parent with both working. Child care is a huge burden on poor people, on middle class people. And Biden has proposed that we improve child care. We're, by the way, of the 37 countries in the OECD, developed and semi-developed countries, supposedly we're 36th in child care. Only Turkey is worse. Okay. I make that point just to show that we have to adapt to the changing world, help poor working families adapt to it, and we need big, bold action. If the Republicans join us in that big, bold action, that's going to be great, and that's what we prefer. But we have to have that action. And if they stand in the way, we'll have to figure out what to do. When it comes to something like child care and infrastructure, we can do it under this infrastructure plan, under this reconciliation plan if we have to. And you don't need the 60 votes. But when in areas where you might need 60 votes, well, everything will be on the table.
I want to go back, Chuck, if I may, to the filibuster. So if I'm hearing you correctly, big and bold means, okay, get rid of the filibuster.
No, big and bold means big, bold action and figure out the best way to get there. We have,
and it
you
is?
Know, it's important to get there.
And
well,
it
depends
is?
On different issues. It'll be different things on this America Competitiveness Act, which can be so good for the capital region and for building a new chip fab in Malta, for enhancing all view of Albany's nanotech center and making Albany, even with IBM working and Intel working, the center of new chip formulation. That has happened in a bipartisan way. But when you can't do it in a bipartisan way, you got to look at other alternatives.
Let's go to the Capitol riot. You were there. You were under pressure. People were being chased. The vice president of the United States at the time was being chased around with a noose outside, and still he supports President Trump. I have no idea what's wrong with that man, but he does. Now, is there going to be some way
I think your readers will be, your listeners will be interested in this. I'm going to tell you my January 6th, okay?
Sure.
And I call it the best of times, the worst of times. That was the opening line, as you may remember, in Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities. Best of times. January 5th was our elections in Georgia. And I knew that if our two senators in Georgia won, I would have achieved my lifelong dream of becoming the majority leader. So I'm nervous. I stay up all night. We're looking at the results. Tuesday night bleeds into Wednesday morning. I'm still on the computer. What's the results in Chatham County? What's the African-American turnout in DeKalb County? At 2 a.m. Finally, at 4 a.m., they declare it's clear that our two candidates have won. My first reaction, joy. When you've achieved a goal that you've long sought after, detours in the road, logs in the path, of course, joy and, to me, gratefulness to God that that has happened. But I had a second reaction immediately thereafter, which I've tried to describe as, I couldn't figure out the right word immediately, but I call it awe. I don't mean awe in the sense my teenage daughters used to use it. Gee, Dad, the movie was awesome. But awe in the biblical sense. When the angels see the face of God, they tremble in awe. And I realized the huge responsibilities on my shoulders and the shoulders of our thin majority to get things done, the kinds of things I've mentioned before. So I have those two emotions coursing through my veins. I can't sleep. I get up at 7. I'm in Brooklyn. Drive down to Washington. Get on the floor of the Senate at 1 p.m. The first time is the putative majority leader. I'm on the floor of the Senate for just about an hour when a police officer in a bulletproof vest and a submachine gun strapped across his waist grabs me by the collar. I'll never forget the firmness of that grab. And he says, Senator, you're in danger. We got to move. I didn't know what the danger was. He explained it to me. And you may have seen this because this was on the video cameras. The security cameras, they caught it overhead, used it in an impeachment trial. We go out the Senate chamber, we turn to the right. I'm walking briskly with a police officer on either side of me. We go through a door, and then you don't see us on this film for about 20 seconds. And then we're coming out the door, running at full speed the other way. I was within 20 feet of these insurrectionist, horrible, horrible people. And one of them had a gun, had a couple of them blocked the door. Who knows what would have happened? It was reported later, one of them said, there's the big Jew, let's get him. So that was the worst of times. But now I think, Alan, and I'll conclude on this, we're beginning to get to the better of times. We've delivered the checks to people. We've gotten vaccines out, so it's much better. We've helped our restaurants. We've helped our small businesses. My Save Our Stages legislation, which helped keep our arts institutions like the Palace Theater in Albany, where I visited, open. We've done so much, so many different things in that American Rescue Plan that we're beginning to show America there's a positive path. And I'll conclude by telling you that's my mission, to give the average American hope again in the American dream. Too many people have lost faith in that dream. If you ask the average American, what's the American dream to you? They put it simply. They'd say it means if I work hard, I'll be doing better 10 years from now, and my kids will be doing still better than me. When people don't believe that, they can turn to a dictatorial-type personality, an authoritarian, a divisive, even a racist-type personality like Trump. We must restore that American dream, and as majority leader, it's not easy with 50 votes and often no cooperation, as we mentioned, from the Republicans, but we've got to get it done, and I'm going to try my darndest.
And we thank you so much, Chuck, for being with us. We really appreciate it. We know how busy you are, and thanks for being with us. We'll
thanks for the good job and the always informative way that you conduct these shows. So thanks.
Bye, Chuck.
Bye.